But I will continue to do so because I don't think I got my point across for some reason. And in this tshuva, we actually read two tshuvas. We didn't read the entire second tshuva, obviously, but we read number one, the first tshuva, which is number Kuf Lamed Beis Kfiyas Eit Hamavis. That's the one we've been focusing on. The small tshuva in the back of the handout. And essentially, we pointed out a number of ha'aros that are already, not my chidushim, but that are already mentioned by many in the course of reading this tshuva. Rabbi Tendler argues that brain death is considered to be of significance. And he ascribes to his father-in-law, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, this definition. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in this short tshuva, Kuf Lamed Beis, essentially what he says is the following. He just points out that there is a notion, there is a concept of brain death. Obviously, he's not going to deny that. But he indicates that death is not defined by brain death. No. What's the definition of death? Irreversible respiratory functioning. That's clear in this tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. That is the definition. Respiratory malfunction. So he's talking about the respiratory centers of the body. That's what the entire tshuva seems to be focused on. Again, look at the first paragraph. You see it very clearly. And then Rabbi Tendler obviously told his father-in-law about a test, a nuclide scan test. Which again, the idea is to show that the connection between the brain and the body has been interrupted. That somehow, that connection no longer exists. And therefore, for that purpose, it's sufficient to show that the brainstem no longer functions. And once there's no connection between the body and the brainstem, then clear that respiration is now irreversible. That's the argument that Rabbi Tendler is making, and that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal is actually citing in this particular tshuva, Kuf Lamed Beis. But the purpose of this test is not to establish that the brain is no longer functioning. But what is it to establish? That the respiration, that respiratory failure has taken place and it's irreversible. That's what this test is designed to determine. Correct? Even though Tendler argues that that indicates that there is a lack of neurological control of the body functioning. That's not what Rabbi Feinstein is writing. What he's writing is that the lack of blood flow to the brainstem again indicates that now there is, as I said, a cessation of respiratory function. Okay? You hear that? And that's basically his definition of death. I just want to stress this, I can't stress it more, is failure of the respiratory system to function. But then, as I mentioned,
isn't that the Torah's opinion?
Yes, we quoted the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma has two definitions. One, the Gemara says, depending on essentially respiration, and the second is the issue of what? The heart. That's how the Gemara has psukim, and the Gemara cites these two. The brain is not mentioned in Chazal. Not mentioned. Of course, Chazal were aware of the brain. That's very obvious. There are many Gemaras that indicate that. But as far as definition of death is concerned, you don't have a copy of the Shumas, or you do, or you don't. Okay, whatever. So there's one other, few other matters that also we find in this tshuva, namely that there's a comparison between the Mishnah and Olos, Hatazas HaRosh, which refers to decapitation, when the head has been decapitated, correct? And somehow the assumption is that that exactly is the same as what? As brain death. There's an analogy that's drawn over here between these two. And the Mepashya says that this analogy is not 100% clear, that the analogy is a correct analogy. I mentioned the other tshuva, which is in Kufayin Dalet, which we're going to read, Mitzvah Hashem, I'm going to read it separately. I started reading part of it, as you see over here. But in that tshuva, Kufayin Dalet, Yerodea, which is the second chelak, Kufayin Dalet over here, Rabbi Feinstein writes that brain functioning does not determine death. And he writes, there's no makor, either in the Gemara or in the literature of the Chazal, with reference to this matter. But obviously he accepts the Mishnah Nolos. If a person, his head is decapitated, there's no question that by Fine Sewer Dumaskin that that is certainly death. However, the question is there a necessarily a parallel between brainstem death and the idea of decapitation, the Mishnah Nolos? That's the issue which is in question. So Rabbi Tendler assumes that there is. Somehow the two are coterminous. There's a parallel between these two ideas. And that, as I said, is not something which is necessarily 1,000% so. And there's no indication here in this Jew that Feinstein was masking to such a notion. Because again, given his assertion in the very beginning, the very first paragraph, where he writes clearly here, the definition of death is respiratory malfunction, correct? So therefore, decapitation, if you will, is not necessarily a separate criteria or brainstem death, if you will, but simply, as he writes, based on the test that I mentioned, that now we have proven that there's no respiration, that there's respiratory malfunction. And again, as I said, when he writes over here, bekoach, which Rabbi Tendler understood to mean potential, so then essentially, bekoach seems to mean forceful decapitation, means there is no brain. And the fact of the matter is that here we have also a number of other factors, again, in this tshuva, if you look in this short tshuva that I mentioned, because the tshuva speaks about nir kav ha-moach, that the brain is completely rotted. The fact of the matter is that we're not familiar with this definition. Means the halacha actually does not tell us about different functions of the brain. We're not familiar with that. And therefore, even though there's an analogy that's drawn over here, we don't necessarily have to assume that the analogy is to be taken in a literal kind of fashion. Now, I just want to mention again that here in this tshuva also, Rabbi Feinstein raises another question. He talks about a patient who OD'd on the sleeping pills. Do you recall that? We read this actually. May not be able to breathe, and therefore requires a machine, requires a ventilator, in order to assist him for breathing. And then, of course, the drugs that he took first have to be somehow clear out of his body. That may take time. And then, the doctors are able to assess what his respiratory status is at that point in time, by not turning the ventilator back on. And if he shows no sign of respiration, of course, then he's dead. Then or can he breathe spontaneously, and then he's alive, then the ventilator should be turned back on. But again, all of the above is designed to connect to one idea, respiration. That's what the tshuva clearly indicates. And as I mentioned already a number of times, that there's somehow an assumption here that brain death somehow is a definition, but as I said, the problem is that there's no mention here at all in this entire tshuva of any heartbeat element, which is certainly a critical element in the definition of death, according to Chazal. Heartbeat is a critical factor. And so this is a massive omission, and somehow there's, as I said, that's why one tshuva alone is really not sufficient to go ahead and determine what the Igros Moshe, what his position on the matter is. It could very well be that Rabbi Feinstein is talking about a patient who has no heartbeat. And it's true, Rabbi Tendler is right, that no doctor would ventilate such a person if he has no heartbeat. I imagine they would describe him as a corpse. But the fact is that that's not the case that the Igros Moshe was talking about. He's talking about determining death. That's what he's describing. And he identifies respiration, etc., as being the determining factor. As I said, the issue which is found in the Gemara also, back in the Gemara here on Pehei, Rashi's comment. Rashi says that the Lashon of Rashi is very interesting. And Rashi actually has in the Tshuva, Kuf Mem Vov, in Chelek Yerodeya, Chelek Sheni of Yerodeya, when he talks about Rashi and Yuma here, that Pehei, Rashi says sometimes, Chiyus, Rashi says life is not perceptible in the heart, but it's noticeable in where? In the Chotem. So why does the heartbeat not perceptible? because it no longer exists. And yet the heart still retains some function, even when it's not beating. Vaharaya, the patient is still breathing. That's what he writes. Adayan, who knows saying koach b'chiyut, ma'at la'guf, delachem, who knows shame, b'chot ma'adayan. The problem is you can't, it's not perceptible, you don't see it. So therefore, the most accurate indication and the most accurate determinant of life according to Rav Moshe Feinstein is respiration. You know what I'm saying? I think you and I are connected with each other. Somewhere. The lack of respiration proves that the person clearly has underwent both respiratory failure and cardiac failure, which is the determinant of death. But Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly understands that the possibility of continued breathing despite the lack of a heartbeat. And that's why you need a respiratory exam in order to determine exactly what the whether death is here or not. Now here also, this tshuva, that since the assumption is a person can breathe without a heartbeat, so then we understand why a doctor would treat such a patient and by putting him on a ventilator. Again, what is the ventilator going to do? Hopefully it will restore the heartbeat. That will also be restored. So again, the only indication is the ability to breathe. You don't have that, correct? So given the lack of heartbeat, certainly the person would be dead. But again, I'm just stressing that the focus of this tshuva clearly is the idea of respiration. Now I saw in a a letter of Rav David Feinstein, that was written in 1992. This is after Rabbi Feinstein passed away. So they asked Rabbi David Feinstein, the son of Rabbi Moshe, to clarify his father's position, or to vouch for his father's position regarding this particular tshuva. And he writes, "Lebirur hadvarim," as far as the clarification of this matter, he says, if a patient is lying like a corpse and exhibits no motion, even though his heart continues to beat, afsha halev poem, because he's not breathing, me'acha sheino noshem, who can make gamor, he's considered to be absolutely dead. Here what Rav Feinstein Shlita writes. Now, he doesn't say whether that's what his father meant in this tshuva, the one that we've been reading for quite a while. But apparently that's the position which Rav David Feinstein has taken. I know it's the way I understand it, that not breathing or lack of spontaneous respiration, that's the definition of death. So if I have a brain dead patient who is not breathing, he would be considered dead. Yet I'm saying, Rav David Feinstein constantly stress the fact that what did his father say? Breathing. You hear what I'm saying to you? I've stressed this already many times in the course of reading this tshuva. And I don't think his father necessarily was willing to extend this notion to brain donation, brain death, or for that matter, obviously organ donation, which is the nafkamina, regarding brain death. So this is going to create some difficulty, this response of Rav David Feinstein, and for that we'll have to read actually several other tshuvas, and that's exactly what we are going to go about doing. Now there are really four tshuvas altogether. I think we Xeroxed three of them, if I'm not mistaken. One is the that we're on that we've been focusing on till now, and the other you should have is Kufayin Dalin. Do you have that one? The one we read is Kuf Lamed Beis. And then the one we started reading is Kuf Ayin Dalet. And then the third one, which is, you know, the truth is we should have done them in order. That might have been the best approach. But I, as you can see, did not do so. Huh? There's a, the third one is Kuf Lamed Beis, then there's Kuf Ayin Dalet, Kuf Mem Vav, and then there's a fourth tshuva as well, which we haven't done yet. I recall, I'm trying to remember which number it is. I don't remember right now. No, don't copy it yet. So I want to, since we're reading them in order, The one I wanted to read first is Kuf Chaf Ches, which I started reading already. This talks about, that's a long tshuva. And the question is whether you have patience to read it with me. As you see, I spent a lot of time on the first tshuva. No? I think it was worthwhile, the Fiyani Udati. And I like to be Ma'ayin and be Medayik in the language of Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's basically what I do. What's the nature of that look that he's giving me?
It's like, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Say the Omer. Aleichem Shalom.
Great first two. Great first two. Big fan.
Go tshuva, go.
Okay, so now if you take a look at the second tshuva, I'm going to read it slowly again. I'll start from the beginning again, okay, if you don't mind. This tshuva is written to the Minchas Yitzchak. Now, Gaon Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss. He was the Gaon Abbez of Manchester, and then he became the Gaibid of Yerushalayim. And he wrote many tshuvas here. Minchas Yitzchak, an absolute genius. A man who literally knew Kol HaTorah Kula. There's nothing he didn't know. Anytime he writes a tshuva on any topic, every tshuva includes everything but the kitchen sink. That's an expression.
I would like the kitchen sink, to be honest.
Okay. This, of course, is the tshuva I told you that was written in response to the heart transplant of Dr. Christian Barnard.
Murder.
Right, which Rav Moshe calls double murder. That's how he starts the tshuva. It's a very long tshuva. I'm going to analyze this tshuva also. It's going to take us a little bit, if you don't mind. Okay, I'll just try to read it slowly. If you don't mind following, I think it'll be kedai. This is a course in reading tshuvas, and specifically of the Igros Moshe. You have a copy of this?
Which tshuva?
Kufayin Dalet. I'm sure I gave it out.
Yeah.
I think you Xeroxed it, Matthew. I don't think I have any more. Ellie, you have a copy of this?
Yeah, you're right. Go through it and make sure I'm all taken care of. What?
May Hashem bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, so here he writes, "Bidvar Hashayla b'hashtala saleh b'chodah b'ish acher, hizchilu rofim achadim asot," that people started engaging in hashtala saleh, heart transplants. "Eni rotzil arich b'rayu d'r'sor asu b'pula." The more rayos and the more pilpul you add here, you're just detracting. As if you have to bring rayos to what I'm going to say, which of course is double murder. It is elementary, my dear Watson. You might come and say, no, I can bring a pircha to your rayos. There's no room for any pilpul. The matter is interdicted. Prohibited.
Oh, okay.
Forbidden. Double murder. Moida. Twice. Kishtila Saleh, you're killing two souls? You're killing the one that the heart was taken from him, the donor. He's still living. Not only based on the Torah, some are still telling the truth. They'll also tell you he's still living. Wow. Because of their wickedness, the fellow only has a short time to live, so as far as they're concerned, he's as good as dead. Bigam horgi biyadayim nechayim mamish shall have shonim. Someone who could live for many years, they kill him. The from afasvus b'shonim etacholim machlas aleiv, because he has a heart condition, because his heart is not necessarily functioning ideally. So they simply decide to go ahead and end him off earlier. Quality of life, doing him a favor. Ki yadu hashabe choli aleiv ma'arich nabi yam b'shonim. Many people with heart conditions, they continue to live for many, many years. That was then. This is in Toshin Chav Ches, I told you, 1968. So then it was a really, situation was not good, and all, Kimad, all the Those who received heart transplants died in a very short period of time. Today the situation is completely different. However, we're reading the tshuva not because of this, but because of the yisod that Moshe is going to lay down in this tshuva. Okay? And he writes further. The Afro Echad Sheba Africa, Shadayin Afshar Obe Erech Shisha Radoshim Uchai, one of them lived for 6 months. V'azgimu, l'fim Asher Shemati, he's not going to live. Upele alaf amalchio shebechol amdino shemenichin l'rofin l'rshoyim l'zor shei nefashim b'chol pam me'ach shevon kvar shavechad eno chai mizeh ho'yolem lano shosom kerotzki gnurim k'yav shezgimu acholom hari ubutolz mitzad hasatata rofim l'rshoyim v'gam b'lo zein haskamatam kum shein adam b'rshoyim l'arog avit atzmo. We had the sugar. You're not allowed to kill yourself. We call that suicide. Gemara Sanhedrin. Shofech dam ha'odom, bo'odom, damo yishofech. Ki v'tzer malokim, aso et ha'odom. So I'm not sure you can't understand how the governmental authorities permit such activity to take place.
I have no idea.
This is a very valid question that he raises. Generally, you understand, you certainly are aware, in the United States of America, where I believe all of you come from, hail from, there are regulatory organizations that oversee hospitals and doctors. There are also many, many ethical committees that are responsible for these kinds of things. And they said we would not permit any kind of skullduggery in this area. Helter-skelter behavior that is absolutely beyond belief. Even, for example, as you undoubtedly are aware, the Food and Drug Administration, which is really worldwide respected by all countries in the world, they, before they permit a drug to be on the market, they investigate it. And sometimes the investigation can take place for a period of several years before it's marketable, before they determine that they're going to let it out. And that is something which is a wise, rational, and sentient kind of move. And that's where they operate, especially also with these kinds of situations. Okay, so now, the next part of the tshuva, which we're going to read next time, Bli Neder, is going to be an examination of some of the sugyas in Shas and Rambams that deal with the most fundamental questions of life. And I'm trying to figure out what the best way to do it is, because to read the entire tshuva, as you can see, this is quite lengthy. So I'm going to try to really, if I can, summarize it, and maybe even try to bring some Aaron Kamos to show you the original sources that Moshe Feinstein is using from the Shas and Poskim. This way we'll have a better appreciation of what is happening. Okay, so Bli Neder, we shall, on the next time we gather together.